I will be reading from Acts. Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, Get up, Peter, kill and eat. But I replied, No, by no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth. But a second time the voice answered from heaven, What God has made clean, you must not call profane. This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? The word of God for the people of God.
Read from book Luke. So he set off and went to his father, but while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and before you I am no longer worth to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quickly bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fat calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to celebrate. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you. So there's something about me you may not know. I used to be fun because I used to be a summer camp counselor. That's actually where Pastor Dave and I fell in love. It's very sweet. Because he was a summer camp counselor too. And one of my favorite stories from summer camp was when we were on our way to the ropes course. Now, a ropes course is like a chance for us to have teams that kind of bond together. There's usually activities you do. And so I bring my cabin to this ropes course, and we're standing on a basketball field. Okay, so the ropes course has this circle drawn on the ground in sidewalk chalk. And so the leader tells all the girls in my cabin, line up on the inside of the circle, shoulder to shoulder. So we're about to start the activity, and the only rule is you can't step outside of the circle. So there's this sidewalk chalk circle on the ground, and they're shoulder to shoulder, and we're just about to start. And then at that moment, a little girl came up because she had been with the other counselor. This little girl was struggling. She didn't really know a lot of kids at camp. She was feeling really homesick, and she was talking to my other cabin counselor, trying to figure out, like, I don't know if I belong here. I don't know if I'm welcome. And so she gets enough courage to come to this ropes course, and then she finds all the girls standing inside of the circle. And the ropes course leader says, okay, y'all, make room for her. But nobody wanted to move because they had told the rules were don't step outside of the circle and stay shoulder to shoulder. And so they kind of freeze, and I'm like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen here. And then this amazing girl named Lauren, this was middle schoolers, this amazing girl named Lauren, she takes her foot out of her shoe, and with her sock, she erases the sidewalk chalk line behind her. And then she says, she like steps away, and she says, come on in, you can stand with me. And all the other girls in the circle are kind of like mad that she, you know, I can't believe she did that. And the one little girl who had felt left out just had this beautiful little smile on her face. We are in a series right now about what it means to be Wesleyan rooted. These are the history and the roots of our church and our theological background. And today we're talking about what it means to embrace widely. What does it mean to be embraced and to embrace others through the grace of Christ? Let's pray. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, because you are God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, so we just heard really beautifully read this story of the prodigal son. We just heard the end of the story, but let me give you the big picture of the prodigal son. So there's a son who goes to his father, and he says, you know what? You're worth more to me dead than alive. Give me my inheritance now. I'm leaving. So that son goes and blows all the money. He just lives frivolously. His life falls apart, and he figures out, I would be better off being a pig at my father's house or working amongst the, at least the animals have something to eat, right? And so he says, I feel so ashamed. I'm going to get a good speech together. And I'm going to go back to my father, and I'm going to tell him, can you please just let me work on your farm? Now, where we picked up was when we find him right after he's come to his senses. He's figured out he's got to go back. And you can imagine the story he's telling himself all the way home. I'm terrible. He's going to rehearse the speech he's got to say to his dad. And if you've ever heard me preach this story, you probably are tired of hearing me say this. But I think one of the best lines in Scripture is that line. Ooh, I'm going to cry just saying it. While he was still a long way off. While the sun was so far that it was hard to even know if that was the sun really in the distance, while he still had not said any of his shame speech, while he still felt like garbage, while he was still planning on just eating the slop with the pigs, while he was still a far way off, the father's at the end of the driveway, looking, checking for him, hoping, filled with compassion that this might be his son, excited to wrap his arms around him and kiss him. Now, Jesus tells this parable to the Pharisees and the religious leaders. They're a little mad because Jesus is hanging out with people he's not supposed to, people who aren't good enough, they're not religious enough, they're not important enough, they haven't followed any of the rules. The tax collectors, which nobody liked, and all the sinners, all the religious leaders are like, we don't hang out with those people, Jesus, so what are you doing? And Jesus tells this story to them to help them understand who God is like. Jesus says God is like a father who, having been betrayed and abandoned and written off by his own kid, still finds himself at the end of the driveway looking for and loving them. If you've been around the church, I'm guessing you probably heard this story. But I want us to remember how big of a deal this is. This father has been told he was better off dead to his son. Some of the deepest pain that a parent could feel. And then that father welcomes him not only with the pigs, but for a party as a son with a ring. The fattened calf, I think this is important. We probably think, like, if we're gonna have a celebratory meal, we just drive down to the Aldi and we pick whatever it is we're going to have for lunch, and then that's fine. But in this scenario, they would have been fattening up a calf for a really long time, like half a year or a year or more. This is a lot of work to fatten this calf and to use it for a time of celebration. And so you can imagine that some people might be like, we're going to waste a year's worth of work on this guy? One of my favorite authors, his name is Henry Nouwen, and he wrote this book called The Return of the Prodigal Son. And he says, here is the God I came to believe in, a father who, from the beginning of creation, had stretched out his arms in merciful blessing, never forcing himself on anyone, but always waiting, never letting his arms drop down in despair, but always hoping that his children will return so that he can speak words of love to them and let his tired arms rest on their shoulders. His only desire is to bless. This is a crazy story. What kind of holy and perfect creator God would care about all of us little old humans, particularly all of us who have a tendency to stray? Maybe that's just me, but my guess is it might be like part of our human condition. We wander. What kind of awesome and powerful and mighty God misses us in every little bit of distance that we put between us and God? What kind of God says, of all the ways you could imagine me, I want you to know I'm like a loving parent who will wait every day in the hot afternoon sun, just hoping that one day you will come home and remember that you are my beloved. While you are still a long way off, the God who knows every despair in your heart and every hair on your head stands all day and night ready to party when you come to know that nothing you've done or been or said is too much for God's love. Because the deal is that embracing widely has always been God's idea. It's who God is. It's who God has been from the beginning. What we find when we look at the history of Scripture is that every time a group is very sure, all right, I've drawn the circle, it's just me, or maybe it's just us, we're very sure now God is inside of here, but out there, ooh. Every time folks find themselves drawing a circle, whoops, God's on the other side. God is the God who keeps seeking us, who keeps crossing all the lines that we draw. Maybe you've been a person who's felt like you've wandered too far. Or maybe you've been told who you are or what you think or how you have lived makes you not part of God's community, not part of the family. Maybe you know what it's like to feel like you're on the outside or to be looked down upon by the older brothers in our world. Today we hear God's story directly confronting all the hurtful voices who might be mumbling in the background, where God says, oh, no, 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 no. We're glad to have them. Here's a ring and a robe and a party. He's the center of the joy and the celebration now. If you are here today and you haven't been embraced by your own family or your neighbors or by religious communities, I want you to know that God embraces you and God calls you beloved child. Now, I could read the prodigal son story every day for the rest of my life and never be tired. If I ever get a tattoo, it will be while he was still a long way off. I'm kind of wimpy, so it probably won't happen. But I think the really big thing about this story is that sometimes we can hear the prodigal son story and we think, that's good for me. I'm the son, I wandered off, God welcomes me. But y'all, if we only read this story for ourselves, we can miss a big part of it. We heard in Acts this story of Peter. So Peter is a disciple of Jesus who probably heard these stories when everybody else was hearing them. Later on in the Bible in Acts, Peter, who had been a disciple, has this really crazy experience. He goes back to all of the religious leaders, the insiders, the people who get to make all the rules. And he's like, you are not going to believe what just happened to me. I had this vision, and all the food we are expressly not supposed to eat, it came down on a sheet, And God said, "Get up, Peter, go kill and eat." Now, I love Peter's response because he's like, "I would never." But God, I follow your rules. And God's like, "Hello, I'm the one talking." God says, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane. What God has made clean, you must not call unclean." Now, I think this is going to hurt a little bit. So religious folks, all right, we're okay. We can take it, okay? I think this is a really important note in this story. Because religious folks like Peter, sometimes we might interpret this sentence a little differently. God doesn't say, "What God has made unclean, you must not call clean." But oof, that's how we hear it sometimes, right? And for lots of us, that's how we live it. Like, we are God's little patrol folks. Like, God deputized us to the borders of God's love, to the edges of what might be unclean, ready to tell people the moment they step their foot over that line. No, God's primary concern to Peter is that we do not call unclean what God has called clean. That we don't start calling bad what God has called good. That we don't start crossing out what God has underlined. We don't start drawing lines of what's outside or not good enough or unholy or outside of God's big circle, where God has continually broadened the boundaries and God keeps swinging open the gates. We must not draw lines of exclusion where God has already welcomed. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And what it means to be a Methodist. It's what it means if you are a person who calls yourself a lover of God. This is our call. The birth of our historical movement in Methodism began because the Wesley brothers started preaching to all the folks who didn't have fancy enough clothes or important enough jobs to get to go to the big fancy churches. They started preaching to coal miners and poor folks and people who felt left out of the way that civilized society operated. They ministered to people who seemed too vile to be God's beloved. To be a follower of Jesus means we embrace widely because we haven't forgotten that we were also embraced too. It means that we remember that when we were the ones that God stood at the end of the driveway for, that later there will be others. And we will celebrate and we will party and we will not get resentful that God has invited them as well. This is the really hard part. Welcoming God's love and grace, like that's a hurdle enough. But then recognizing God's grace for other people, that is hard. It sounds really nice while we're in here and we're all kind of facing the same direction, right? And the windows are bright and the air conditioning's kind of on. But when we say the final blessing, when we leave this space and we go and connect with other people, that is where the real work begins. Because embracing widely means finding a way to see the image of God at work in others, even when it's not the first thing we notice about them. It means we welcome and love and cherish others because we know what it's like for God to stand at the end of the driveway for us. It means that we can somehow imagine God's love is so wide and deep and abiding that even the people we cannot stand could be welcomed to God's table and to God's party. We welcome because He first welcomed us. We love because He first loved us. All right, so back to summer camp. Here's the circle, right? They're all standing in the line. They go through the rest of the activities, and we go back to the cabin. And I said, "Lauren, why did you do that? Why'd you take your foot out of your shoe and get chalk all over it and upset the rest of the people, and maybe you broke the rules of the... Why did you decide to do that?" And what I learned was that the previous year, Lauren had shown up to camp, and she didn't have any friends either. She wasn't from that church or that community. She had never attended. She knew what it was like to be the one who felt left out of the circle or out of the cabin activities. Lauren knew that feeling of trying to decide if we're just going to go home. She said when she talked to her mom about it after last summer, that her mom helped her to understand that that feeling where you feel left out, you feel like you're not included, like you haven't been embraced. Lauren said, my mom helped me to see that my own pain gave me a superpower to see others when they were struggling and to help others when they felt alone. Lauren knew what it was like to be outside of the circle, and so she was not going to let anybody else feel that way as well. Friends, this is our call, our superpower in the world, to see and to welcome, to love and to embrace widely in the love of Jesus Christ, because we know what it's like to be loved that much by God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.